We are back from recess. We have the MoDOT monthly update.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Oh, this is a short chair. I'm going to switch chairs. That's easier than trying to figure out that mechanism. Aha! All right, that's better. Little update on construction. Obviously, we're in the construction season, so I think I told you guys last time we put some high friction surface treatment down on 65 at Saddlebrook, and that's been inspected and approved. So that's kind of a done deal. We put that down because we were still having accidents on those curves on 65, even in dry weather. You know, didn't really make any sense why we were having them. And we'd made sign improvements and warning improvements, and we finally just said, okay, we're going to put some friction treatment down here that should help keep people on the road. So I think that's a really good thing. We chip sealed 376 and 76. It's probably been about a month ago, and because of the rains that we had been having, it took us a long time to get back out there and get those striped. 376 has been striped. 76, I believe, as of Friday, was about a third done. So I don't think they're done yet, but I expect them back this week to finish the striping on 76 out by Bradleyville. So I apologize for the delay there. We've got crews working weekends and everything to just try to get caught up. So the overlays on 125 and 160, and that's the section in the eastern part of Taney County where we had some problems with the original asphalt here about 2 or 3 years ago that we put down. We are coming back to get that corrected, and so that's going to happen in August. The contractor's telling us right now August 10th. They think it'll take about 4 weeks to do 125 and 160, so tentative completion would be the week of September 7th. Some construction that affects you guys is not in Taney County, but it will affect 65. They're going to start on the diverging diamond interchange at 65 and CC. They're north of Ozark. That work should start in September, and I think they've got about a year to complete that. So I don't expect big impacts to the main line, but that will be another construction zone that falls on the 65 corridor. They're finishing up the Battlefield project right there in Springfield that's on 65 also. So that's pretty near complete. The Bull Shoals Bridge is still on schedule for 2017. I get lots of questions about it, but nothing's really changed as far as we're working on bridge design. The current bridge design is a concrete, typical concrete structure like we put in now, most bridges that you see. The pre-stressed concrete girders that have cables running down the middle of them that they actually stress and cause tension on the cables for support. That's on schedule, like I said. The cost on that entire project is just a little over $8 million, including engineering. And we really didn't have any right-of-way acquisition since we're dealing with the Corps of Engineers, but that would include right-of-way and everything, too. Just like you guys, we've been doing some cleanup. Not too much destruction, directly on our system. I know the guys have been rebuilding, things like erosion control blankets and that, the rock blankets, that type of thing. We've had some of that was displaced. A lot of driveways, private driveways that we're having to go in and kind of clean up for people. Debris removal, that type of thing. So they've been trying to get that done in the middle of mowing and all the other good stuff. Trying to think. We had pictures, actually, of on 165 where the Fall Creek Bridge went underwater. So it's been pretty serious flooding, but I know you guys are aware of that. So the other thing I've got is, I don't know if you get it or not, but our chairman of the commission puts out a letter called I think it's called News from the Chair, and his latest letter, which came out last Friday, I believe, addressed the fact that we do have increased revenues. The state of Missouri is up about 8.8% for the last fiscal year, and MoDOT was up about 4.5%. We had made projections that those revenues would stay flat based on all the data we had from previous years. We had no reason to assume that revenues would go up, but it's amazing what cheap gas will do to your revenues when you are collecting a per-gallon tax. So our revenue is up about 4.5% for the year. We don't know, you know, what that will mean for future years, but 4.5% increase for us this year was about, I believe they said, $47 million. And that's close to what we were going to have as a gap in 2017, which is about $42 million is what they were projecting. So I have a feeling that the projections for the next fiscal year, which is when we really were going to be impacted, I have a feeling those projections will come up some. Of course, that still doesn't take care of our fiscal situation. It may take care of that match for 1 year with the federal match because we have to come up with that $1 for every four. So it may put us off, you know, a year from having that need. But that need has not gone away. We don't expect gas prices to stay, you know, they've already gone up considerably from where they were this winter, even or spring. So we don't expect them to stay that cheap. And we also brought in additional revenues from people going out and buying several vehicles, and we really don't expect that to stay as high as it came in this year either. So, but on the federal side, I know that the Senate met on Sunday. They're looking at a six-year bill, which would be wonderful because I've been here almost 13 years and we have yet to have what would be considered a standard. Used to be the standard, which was a six-year highway bill. They've not had a six-year highway bill in that 13 years that I've been at MoDOT. So it's always been continuations, short. The longest we had was last year, which was a year and a half that actually expired in May. So we've just been... we've just been functioning on a continuance for now. So 6 years would be awesome. I know that's, you know, probably going to come out of the Senate. I don't think the House was looking at a six-year bill. I'm not sure where that status stands, but we'll see where it goes. And I think that's it. It's the financial side and the construction side and the maintenance side. So, any questions?
Yes, you're just talking about the... adhesive that you put down on by Saddlebrook. Have you put that down in other locations on curves, or is that?
Yes, actually, it's a product that the Federal Highway Department was wanting us to try because other states had been using it. We had put it down, I think it'd be close to almost 2 years ago now, up in Jeff City on Highway 54, where there's those real nasty curves coming into the right there at the Capitol. We had accidents there all the time. They've got chevrons that have progressive lighting that lights up the chevrons. They had done about everything they could think of to do without literally blowing up the highway and realigning the highway. They came in with that high-friction surface treatment. It's been about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and it's worked really well.
I had thought that maybe even on some state roads I had seen something, but it may just been a section where you had maybe done some repairs or something.
Probably some chip seals.
Same color of the pavement, mm-hmm. You know, as and I thought, well, I was going to ask you about that. I never paid any attention to that kind of stuff before I became commissioner. But
I know. You find yourself looking at all that when you work with transportation stuff. The only other location we put in this year, and it actually was after we got done with Saddlebrook, was we did the ramp from James River 360 onto I-44. It's a big looping ramp, and we used to have problems with, especially people with trailers, tended to go off of that ramp, and so we put that product on that ramp too. We're looking at some other locations. I'm not sure exactly the entire list that's been approved, but we've got a section on Highway 60 out east of Rogersville. When you're going westbound, there's kind of a set of little curves before you get to Rogersville, about 2 miles out, that seems to give people, there's like a a salvage yard or something that has a bunch of fencing up, and it feels like you've narrowed down even though you haven't, and we seem to have accidents there too, and so I know that's being considered. And then we've got that long hill on I-44 as you're going towards Marshfield that we've ground it, we've done different things in the past, and I think we're going to try this on that too. So,
is it an expensive product?
Yes, it is. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know per square foot, it's, you know, we literally price it per square foot and figure out how many square feet we're going to use, because it's pretty pricey. So, but it seems to work really well, and the friction numbers are just, from an engineering standpoint, they're way off the chart of what we even normally measure with just normal, like a chip seal or an asphalt or something. So really good numbers, and they've shown historically that those numbers stay high for many years. So it should, you know, continue to benefit the area until we have to overlay again. And then we'll probably end up doing the same again when we overlay. So.
I don't have anything else. Usually I'm hitting you with three or four questions, but I think...
You're being easy on her today, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
It's nice of you. You just on the 120, 165, you said the asphalt, was there anything specific about the asphalt or just bad batch? Or
we had, that was about 3 years ago, and we had, we've really been pushing the envelope on asphalt makes design to try to save money.
Right.
We're letting them use a lot of recycled product, a lot of shingles that they get the asphalt from the shingles,
right.
A lot of recycled milled. And that overlay went down in October, and we think it was probably a combination of kind of borderline weather, kind of cool and damp, mixed with a mixed design that just had probably too much recycled product and not enough fresh oil in it.
The reason I asked,
so we've modified it.
The reason I ask is I've been talking, you know, people have asked me, well, if it's good enough for MoDOT, why isn't it good enough for the county? And I guess that was my question is, you know, well, why aren't you using a recycled product? And anyways, so...
And we're still using recycled product.
Well,
we've just changed the ratio some,
right.
Because we've learned that you can push the envelope so far and then you push too far.
And it's going to cost you more money in the long run than it is to use in that situation.
In this particular situation, yeah.
That's why I was just curious more than anything, if that was part of the issue you felt or...
Yeah. We, I think that... If we had had better weather, that this would have never even shown up. But because it was cool and damp,
combination of the two.
Yeah, because I don't think the recycled product held heat as well when they were starting to put it down on the pavement. And
gotcha.
Just didn't have as much. So it's kind of a combination of things. But it all met our specs. So you know there wasn't a recourse on the contractor.
Well, no. And I'm not asking for there to be. I was just. You know, again, people have made comments about, well, if it's good enough, if it meets the specs of the MoDOT, well, just because they're your specs doesn't mean they're the best specs.
No,
so
but,
that's what I was just
you know, wondering. We've had to make adjustments to try to stretch our budget as much as possible.
Right.
And for years, there probably hadn't been very many changes made to asphalt design, and then we started really pushing the envelope back when we started doing the Smooth Roads Initiative, which was about 2003, because we were using so much asphalt all at once because we took that Amendment 3 money and started overlaying a lot of roads. And that was the same time that oil prices spiked. And so it was like this really bad combination of lots of demand created by us doing that program combined with really high oil prices. And so we started looking at makes design that year, I think specifically, to try to lower the amount of virgin product, you know, asphalt product that we had to put in and consider some more recycled product, which I think other states had been doing some of and we had tried to avoid. But we've had really good results in a lot of locations. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it. But that's, you know, that was a lesson learned. And, you know, you don't... When you have a budget like ours and as many locations as we have to try to push the envelope, you know, those margins have a lot more impact to us than they do to you.
Right.
We're talking several million dollars each year, so.
No, I understand. Yeah. I was just curious or anything.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Fiddler Land Records Management Software.
Hello. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Mr. Erickson's unable to be here this morning, so he asked me to read this notice of intent to declare single feasible source, sole source, SP number 201507-309 is defined in section 50.783 of RSMO. The Taney County Purchasing Department released this notice of intent on July 11th, 2015, via both available newspapers within the county as well as posting it on the Taney County website. It includes a detailed four-page information document which establishes Fiddler's Technologies as a sole source provider for a contract renewal to continue providing software services for the county handling of required land record management. Fiddler Technologies, Inc. has been a software provider for Taney County since 1999, providing these services. They have supplied the needed software currently in place, which is needed to be renewed for the Taney County Recorder's Office and other Taney County offices, end users, and the private sector. This product system, software, and service was first purchased in 1999 via a bid process. Award at this time includes a long-term contract agreeable to both sides. Since then, there's been several enhancements, upgrades, and renewals. Although it appears that the current state statute would sanction another routine renewal at this time, we are following a more complete process using sole source determinations to ensure a fair, transparent, and competitive results. Given these factors, the Taney County Purchasing Department recommends Fiddler as a single source, feasible single source for this needed software and service. Allowing for all of the above information at this time, I would ask if anyone present has any questions. Now then, I would like to make an announcement requesting that if in fact there is any person or persons who have or feels they or their company can immediately offer an alternative to Fiddler, which is as beneficial as Fiddler to Taney County, with all the same financial advantages, services, discounts, upgrades, please come forward. Seeing no such person, I ask that a motion be made to declare Fiddler as a sole source provider for these services for a term of 4 years, subsequent to the satisfactory compliance of a like contract commencing on or near August 1st, 2015. Do you have any questions?
I don't hear any.
No.
So he's needing a motion for a 4-year
renewal
with Fiddler as a sole source, contingent upon satisfactory contract. Is that what?
Yes.
And you're reading that off of there. I'm going to just make my motion so moved as read by the recorder.
Second. We have a motion and a second to renew a 4-year contract with Fiddler as a sole source provider to commence on or about August 1st, 2015. What was the other part? Contingent upon our acceptance of the contract.
Contract, yes.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
That's easy for you to say on that motion because you got the documents in front of you.
That's all I got in front of me right there.
Yeah.
I have I'm trying to place it on the agenda is all I've got. I didn't have that. I'm trying to throw me under the bus, Danny.
No, I just did.
Thank you, Mr. Dixon. The CDBG closeout hearing for the flood buyout.
Is Bob or anyone going to be here for that?
I thought Mr. Axley was going to be here.
I did get an email from Bob Friday that was...
Let's take a quick recess so I can get a hold... Or do you know?
I don't know. I got an email from Bob Friday that was asking us to compare the spreadsheet that... who's the guy that's doing that? I can't remember the name right now.
Ducky? Isn't it Duck?
No. No. Mickey.
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 Mickey something. Mickey Davis, I believe.
Mickey Davis. What am I thinking?
I don't know. But they're close. Mickey and Duffy are real close.
Well, is there a...
Anyway.
Hey, kind of rhyme. And I have a three-year-old.
I did send that.
Four-year-old, excuse me.
I sent information back to him. I hadn't had time to look at it, so I assume that he may be looking at that and may not be as prepared as he thought he would be. I don't know.
Let's take a quick recess and call him on the phone, because next up is... Transfer station, Buchanan Lot, Sycamore Church. So that's going to be.